week we studied together about those things in the Old Testament that God said one was better than another. And we hopefully learned a few things from that lesson. This morning we're going to move into the New Testament and look at some of the things in the New Testament that are better than others. With the title of our lesson this morning, Now That's Better. Now That's Better. We left off one. Next week, being close to Christmas time, we're going to take one of those and deal with it specifically, and that being it's better to give than to receive. So we're going to study that next week together. So you can have that to look forward to. A little bit of advice about gift giving for the last minute shopper again. Right. But we're going to look this morning at some of those things in the New Testament that are said to be better than others. So we have introduction. We're going to look to Hebrews chapter 1, the scripture reading that was read, Hebrews 1, 1 through 14. The first four verses of that, of course, having been read, but we will read all of it again. God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. This is the New King James rendering of it. The King James says in sundry times and diverse manners. And I think sometimes the New King James makes things a little easier for us to understand, even words that we use more often. In various times, in various ways. We've been studying Isaiah on Sunday morning, and we talk about all the other prophets that God used, how he sent angels in many cases to relay a message for someone. He used all sorts of different ways. But verse 2 tells us that in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. If you're going to receive a message from someone, would you rather it come from some stranger? Or maybe somebody that works for that person? Or that it come from that person's son? Which is going to carry more weight? We know that many times, really, the messenger doesn't matter. The message is what's important. But we still would see that, this is the Son that's bringing this message. This must be an important message. He wouldn't just trust this message to anyone. He sent his Son with this message. And that's how important the message that God sent to us was, that he wouldn't have entrusted it to anyone else. No one else could have completed the task that had to be completed. Verse 3, he goes on, he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels. So we see here that Jesus is better than the angels. So much better. Not just a little better. He is so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel and spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So Jesus is so much better than the angels in every way. Now, well, today we have what seems almost to amount to worship in many cases. People are obsessed with angels. They're obsessed with the wrong thing. But yet, the Catholic Church has just recently decided that Mary is just as important in our redemption as Jesus is. Well, in a sense that she brought Christ into the world, she played that role. That was an important role. But she couldn't forgive us of our sins. She had no power. Jesus is better than her. Jesus is better than the angels. People praying to angels and praying to dead saints and things like this. Jesus is the one that God sent. He didn't send the dead saints. He didn't send his angels to perform this function. Jesus is the one that was sent, the Son. Jesus is better. Of course, Jesus is better than any of the other religious figures in our world. He's better than Buddha. He's better than Muhammad. He's better than any of those people who have started cults in recent years. He's better. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is better, not only better than the angels, but better than all. I want to look then, first of all, to some of the other things that are better. Man is better than animals. Man is better than animals. Now, there are some in our society who would have us not believe that. It's taught in all of the public schools in our nation that man is an animal. That he evolved, that he's nothing more than an animal who has developed the ability to walk upright and to talk and to think, and there's nothing special about man. He's just an animal. And because of that, people have begun to behave like animals. They've been taught so long that they are animals, they're starting to act like it. But the fact of the matter is, man is not an animal. Man is better than the animals. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 26. And also Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 11 and 12. Or 11 through 12. Jesus twice in these two verses emphasizes how much better, how much more important, or how much greater a value man is than various animals. First of all, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, he says, "Behold the fowls of the air," that's the birds, "for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" The answer to that question is yes, we are much better than birds. God doesn't shed tears over the birds that die, but he does shed tears over the death of those people who are wicked and who have refused to turn from him. The Bible tells us he takes no delight in the death of the wicked. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does he say that about the birds? No. He says that about people. Man is better than animals. And then in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse number 11, and he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have a sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day." If you want to know how much better a man is than a sheep, just go back and look at the old law and look what was required. If a man stole a sheep, then he had to return four sheep for that sheep that he had stolen, that he had kidnapped, you might say. But if a man stole another man, if he kidnapped a person, and was caught, he deserves the death penalty. But which then is the greater punishment for the greater crime? Because the taking of a man against his will or a person against their will is a much greater crime, because the person is of much more value than the sheep. Jesus makes it clear here as well. He is just healing someone. And the people, the Pharisees in particular, want to cast dispersions against him because of the fact that he healed on the Sabbath day. And he said, if you had a sheep that fell in the ditch, you'd go get it out of the ditch even if it was the Sabbath day. Here's this man. Why shouldn't I do the same for him? But the Pharisees were great hypocrites in many of these areas. But man is better than the animals. They're above them. causing sin. Death is better than causing sin. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus, in verses 1 through 7, talks to the disciples about how we have to become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. But then he says in verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, and to offend means to cause one to sin. You take someone, a little one who believes in Jesus, if there's anyone that causes that little one to sin, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Remember that the next time that you are about to do something that would tempt another to sin or would cause another to stumble. Remember what Jesus said. It's better if you die, if you drown with a big rock tied around your neck, than to cause somebody else to sin. We many times take it so lightly, we don't think a thing about it, that someone else was caused to sin by our behavior. But that's a bad attitude. We need to remember and realize that it would be better to die ourselves than to cause someone else to sin. Then third, we see that losing a body part is better than going to hell. Losing a body part. It'd be better to lose your arm, or your leg, or your tongue, or your eye, or even your head, your whole life. It'd be better to lose that than to lose your soul in hell. Notice Matthew chapter 18 again, this time in verses 8 and 9. Notice what Jesus said. Therefore, if thy hand or thy foot offends thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or lame, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. It'd be better to go to heaven deformed and paralyzed and missing body parts than to keep all those body parts and have to go to hell. Then in verse 9 he says again, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. There were people who were given these kinds of choices in the first century. They were given the choice, deny Christ or be fed to the lion. Deny Christ or have these horrible things happen to you. And they had all sorts of horrible things. Burning them at the stake. Stoning them to death. Having them beheaded. Crucifying them as they crucified Christ. And the Romans were great at inventing ways of torture. They knew how to kill people and to do it painfully. And they gave the Christians those choices. Either deny Christ, turn away from Christ, or else. And the Christians chose the or else. Because they knew it was better to go to heaven without all of those things than to deny Christ and lose their souls. Then we see fourth, that Christian works are better than non-Christian works. Christian works are better than non-Christian works. We see this in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. In particular, in verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. So we speak in this manner. He's just talking to them about how when people turn away after they become a Christian, what a terrible thing that is. To fall away. To lose your faith. To lose that salvation that you had gained. But he says, we're confident of better things of you. So there, as Christians, we do better things. There are better fruits of our labor. What does the non-Christian have to look forward to? Oh, the gain of wealth? the gaining of some brief happiness by the things that can produce, the satisfaction of being able to do their job well. So we talked about some of those things last week under the Old Testament section. But when it ain't better than just to do a job well and have that job well done, you can take satisfaction in your work. But when it's over and done with, what is there left? All of the works of man crumble, they decay, and the last. But as Christians, we can produce fruit. We can do things that will last on into the future and even into eternity. How much better then the works of a Christian are than the works of a non-Christian? Then we see, fifth, heaven is a better home than earth. Heaven is a better home than earth. Sometimes we don't act like it. We fight to keep hold of each physical possession. The home we live in, the house we have, we fight to hold on to those things. They're so important to us. But heaven's better. We ought to be fighting to hold on to that home. Be willing to give up this home, if that needs to be the case, to have that better home. First, we look to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 16 and 35. Hebrews 11:16 says, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." It's a better place. The people refer to as the they here, they desired a better country. They knew that just having a physical home on this earth wasn't enough. They needed more. They needed something better. Something to strive for. Something to reach for beyond that. We have a better home in heaven. Then in verse 35, he says, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." It's that resurrection that lets us know that there is that hope of that better home. There is a resurrection that's going to take place, and we will then get to travel to a better home in heaven. But also in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, Paul discusses in a few verses here this idea of how much better it is. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ." Well, what could be better than that? To live like Christ, to be Christ to someone else, to bring Christ to someone else, to show Christ living in our lives. What could be better than that, Paul? He says, "And to die is gain." Most of us think of dying as a loss. That's because we're on this side of death. On the other side is the gain. We see only what we lose. Paul was looking not at what would be lost, but at what he would gain in getting to go and to be with the Lord. He says, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. As much as I love all of you, I'd much rather be with Christ." That's impersonal, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather be with Christ than with me or with someone else? Sure we would. And Paul experienced that as well. He'd rather be with Christ. He says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you, all for progress and the joy of faith." There are joys that we can have with one another. We sing the song about walking in the garden with the Lord, and they say the speaking of the joy at the end of that song, it says, "No other or none other has ever known that joy that we can have with being with Christ. No one else." And I'm a dad, I always said, "Oh, well, all Christians can experience that joy of being with Christ, but it's still not the same. No other person is going to experience that joy the same way that you do. It's an individual thing that we're going to enjoy in heaven when we get to be with Christ. None other has ever known that joy that I will know when I get to see my Savior face to face, that you will get to experience when you see your Savior face to face. No other can know that joy. Then, six, we have talked about this in the past, and so we'll just briefly hit on it. The new covenant is better than the old. The new covenant is better than the old. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 22. Hebrews 7 and 22 says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. The new covenant, the covenant of Christ, is better. It's a better covenant. And then we've got A, B, and C under this. What's better about it? First of all, letter A, the hope is better. Hebrews 7 and verse 19. The hope is better. Verse 19 says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. There's a better hope. Second, letter B, the sacrifice is better. Hebrews 9 and verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified by these. He's talking about the blood of bulls and goats. But that it couldn't take away the sin. He says, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And we go on to verse 24 to explain this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ's sacrifice is a better sacrifice. Third, then, we see. Let us see, the promises are better. Hebrews 8 and verse 6 says, but now that he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, going back to the fact that the new covenant is better than the old, a better covenant. Because then, which was established or built upon better promises. You have to have all sorts of promises to build a covenant. When people get married, it's a covenant that they make with one another. And they make promises. I'll be with you in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, whatever the various things that they say to each other. Not all of them go with the traditional. But they make those promises. I'm going to love you. I'm going to stay with you until we die. Well, now, depending on how trustworthy that person is, it makes a difference in how good those promises they've made are. Some people you can't trust them as far as you control, and those promises don't mean anything after about 2 or 3 weeks. But other people, you can know if they made that promise to stick with it for life, they're going to do it. That's a better promise. Well, Christ made better promises. The promise of heaven. All of these promises that he made. The promise of the forgiveness of sin. And again, we have discussed those things in other lessons. Then we see 7. Suffering for doing good is better than suffering for doing evil. Suffering for doing good is better than suffering for doing evil. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17. Peter here says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If you're going to suffer, you might as well at least be suffering because of something of value. Peter also, and James tells us, what profit is it to you if you suffer for wrongdoing? You just get what you deserve. But if you suffer as a Christian, then you can have joy, James tells us. Because we know that when we have suffered and done nothing to deserve it, then we're more like Christ than we were before. Because Christ suffered when he didn't deserve it. If we suffer when we deserve it, that's what the thief on the cross said. Well, why are you picking it? One of the thieves said to the other, why are you picking on him? We're here, we're dying for our crimes. We deserve what we're getting. But he didn't do anything. James Pesley paraphrase version of that passage. It says, if we're going to suffer, and we're all going to suffer in life, which is just said a little bit practically, everybody's going to suffer. If you're going to suffer, you might as well suffer for doing what's right as to suffer for doing what's wrong. In conclusion, we want to ask these two questions. One, have you taken advantage of these better things? Have you taken advantage of these better things? Are you still without Christ in this world? Alienated from His blood that cleanses us from all sin. Alienated from the promises that He's made in that new covenant. Alienated from the hope that is in Him, the hope of heaven, that better hope. Have you taken advantage of these? Or not? But now certainly there are some that we don't want to take advantage of. We don't want to die instead of causing sin. We want to live and not cause people to sin. But have you taken advantage of these things that are better, that can be gained under the new covenant? If not, why not? And then second, we want to ask ourselves, are you better than you've been in the past? Now we're coming towards the new year, and at the new year, people make new year's resolutions to determine to do better in the next year than they've done in the past. There's no need to wait until the new year. That's the great thing about Christ and Christian living. We can make that determination that we're going to resolve to do better at any day, at any point. We don't have to wait until the new year comes around to do that. We can do it today. Should have done it yesterday, or the day before. What are we waiting for? Are you better than you were before? It's not determined today. I'm going to be better. Because I live under a better covenant. I have better promises. I have a better hope. I look forward to a better home. So many things are better. Because Jesus is here and He's better than all. He's the best. Make ourselves better as well to live up to the things that He has promised. If you're here and you haven't each responded to the invitation, for any need, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.